With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. He is the longtime voice of the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews joins us on the show today. Denny, how's it going today?
Hi, Carrington. Doing fine. Thank you.
So let's start with the top story of the day in Kansas City. The Royals have decided to let Terry Bradshaw go. I look at this, Denny, as being something very simple. With the way that the Royals have started, someone had to answer for this start, and ultimately it was the hitting coach.
Yeah, and there's so many guys that are really struggling offensively, and if it was one or two, well, that's fixable, but when it's basically top to bottom, then you do have problems, and normally somebody's going to pay the price. It's, what do they say, a results-oriented business. And when the results aren't what you want, then things have to change.
Denny, when you watch this team, what's the biggest problem that you see with their offense?
Consistency. And just the guys that performed well offensively last year have struggled from the outset. And so it's on them. I mean, the hitting coach is responsible, but so is the player. And it's not necessarily mechanics, physically. Sometimes it's between the ears, and the guys have to go back to last year. What did I do well last year? What was my mindset last year when I went to home plate, which may be as important, if not more important, than what did I do physically last year? But if you're not in the mental state of mind to put yourself where you were last year, what did I do physically last year? If you're not in that state, then you're going to struggle. And so I think it all begins with what's between the ears, going back to what did I do last year to make me a successful offensive player, go back to that. But when you get into a slump, why, you get advice from all different angles and different sides and different people, and it really begins to run out of control, basically, and now you don't know what to do. And sometimes it just takes something as simple as a bloop hit and a couple of walks, and you're seeing the ball better, you're thinking better offensively, and you're out of your slump. But the old saying about a slump is it's like a soft, warm, cuddly bed. It's easy to get into but hard to get out of.
Right now we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Denny, that's why we like having you on here, because that's not a gem I could have dropped. We could only get that from you.
Well, I don't think it's an original, but if you want me to take credit for it, that's fine. But, it's baseball, and at best, you're a failure. 7 out of 10 times, you're a 300 hitter, and you'll take that every day. But, it's so difficult. It's hard to pitch in the major leagues. It's hard to hit in the major leagues. It's hard to keep your mind in a game every day, every day, every day. It's a long, long marathon season. And I'm sure some days you're out on the field and you're not quite as sharp mentally, and maybe your mind is somewhere else. Maybe there's something in your personal life that's going on. And it's so many things. There's human beings out there, and they're not robots, and they're not going to do exactly what they did last year every year. And that's why consistency year to year is such a great thing, and the best players are the ones that are consistent. You know how many runs they're going to score pretty much on a yearly basis. You know what they're going to hit. You know what their home run production will be. And, players don't change all that much from year to year, but guys are going to go into slumps. That's the name of the game.
Denny, you've certainly seen your fair share of pitching coach changes or hitting coach changes. What's the biggest difference that you notice whenever a team like the Royals make a switch midseason?
Well, coaches, let's be clear about this. Some players take the instruction or the suggestions better than others. In other words, some coaches resonate more with some players than others. And again, that's human nature. But pitching coaches, I've often wondered, pitching, you come to the big leagues, you're pretty much what you are. I'm a fastball pitcher. I can throw 92 to 94 with a little movement. I've got decent control. Now, pitching coaches can tweak things here and there, and the best ones do, and they keep the player, the pitcher, consistent. They see what he's doing well, and that sticks in their mind. And then if he gets out of that, the pitcher gets out of that rhythm and tempo or whatever it's bothering him, then the pitching coach can say to you, hey, last time you were out on the mound, you did this, but tonight you did that. And so the player, he accepts that, he understands that, and the next time out, then he's back to his better form. So pitching coaches, hitting coaches, I always refer to Charlie Lau, the great hitting coach back in the 70s. And Charlie was of the type who would really work on you mentally as much as physically. And that was really his genius. And he convinced the guys that, hey, you're a good hitter. You go up there and full of confidence. He would notice little things that you were doing, maybe plus, maybe minus, and let you know. And that's the genius of a great coach, is getting to as many players as you possibly can. Not every player is going to understand what the coach is saying. Maybe he'll reject it in a way for whatever the reason. But, yeah, good coaches get to most of the players.
So, Denny, we have seen exactly 120 at-bats for Bobby Witt Jr. Certainly not an incredibly large sample size, but certainly much different than, you know, the first week or so whenever I last asked you about Bobby Witt Jr. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but it really seems to me like he's starting to figure things out a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and that's part of the process. And I expected that. I figured that he was going to be smarter, better, more consistent in August than he is at this very moment. He's more of that now than he was a month ago. And I think it's, how good is he going to be? And who knows? He doesn't know. His dad doesn't know. Mike Matheny doesn't know. Dayton Moore doesn't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. What is the ceiling? You can only be as good as you can be. But where is that ceiling for Bobby Witt? Most people think it's a pretty tall ceiling, and I would agree with that.
Denny, I don't know if I've ever told you this before in all the years that we talk Royals baseball, but Zach Greinke is my favorite player. How do you make of Zach Greinke 2.0 with the Royals?
Well, he's done a good job. He's kept the Royals in almost every game, and I think he's as valuable off the field, in the clubhouse, on the road trips, just talking to the other pitchers and the other pitchers watching him. What are the things that they can pick up from Zach Greinke? What's made him a potential Hall of Fame pitcher? And they will grow from that too if they're paying attention. And if I was a young pitcher, he'd be one of the first guys I'd go to sit down and have a nice long talk. What are you thinking? What's your process mentally when you get out on the mound or before you get out there? The day that you're going to pitch, well, what do you do the day that you're going to pitch, and so on. And, yeah, you'd be silly as a young pitcher not to really tap into his expertise and experience, because he's been a quality pitcher for a long time.
Last thing here, Denny, and I always appreciate your time. As a fan watching this, what should you be looking for? What changes do you think you can notice now having a new hitting coach with a completely new voice and philosophy?
Improvement and consistency, in two words. And if that eventuates, then the job is being done. And I, again, you can't put it all on the coach. You got to direct some of it to the players, and it's up to them now. The pitching coach, the hitting coach can only do so much, and then it's up to them.
That is the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joining us on the show today. Always good to catch up with the longtime voice of the Royals. Denny, appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
You're sure welcome, Carrington. Look forward to next week.
I like hearing that from Denny, man. Denny doesn't know this, but Denny's one of my best friends. I mean, Denny's one of my best friends. I don't know if I'm one of Denny's best friends, but he's certainly very high up the list for me. We'll react to what Denny Matthews had to say coming up on the other side, and we'll talk about the downtown stadium. Maybe you missed it over the weekend, but there were some interesting details and notes in the Kansas City Star and the Sunday paper regarding the Royals moving downtown. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Miss any part of the show today? Catch the Best Of podcast by subscribing to The Drive's podcast feed on 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or find the link on Twitter at 610sportskc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So John Sherman, the owner of the Kansas City Royals, has been telling people at almost every single stop that the team is moving downtown. I don't know how many more signs or inklings that we need that that is in fact the plan for the Kansas City Royals, but they continue to give us the plan. We'll get to what was said in the Kansas City Star yesterday coming up in just a bit. But if you remember, John Sherman said this. So the first time John Sherman had talked in 2022, he didn't talk about the lockout. The first opportunity he got in front of a microphone, he told us they're moving the stadium.
The way I look at it, Annie, is that, you know, we're one of only 25 cities in the United States with the Major League Baseball franchises. Four cities have two, and there's one in Canada. So these are really, really valuable assets for a community. And so I'm interested. So why shouldn't we want to optimize the value of this asset on behalf of our community? I'm kind of interested in how the community wants to. So a lot of it's engagement, different parts of the community. We're doing the work. I look at this as ultimately will be a public-private partnership, and we'll be big investors in that partnership. And I get a lot of feedback that the K is great. And it, look, my first date with my wife was a Royals-Yankees game in the late 70s, right? And so, and I was out there in 1980, 1985, 14, 15. So I love Kauffman Stadium. It's a great place to play baseball. And if you think about when you and Kauffman and Lamar Hunt got together to do that, whenever it was 50 years ago, it was a really innovative concept. But now with baseball, you know, and again, it's a great place to play, but we think we can do more.
So we talked about it whenever these comments were said. He starts to say that we think we can do more. It's great, but we're looking at public-private partnerships. It sounds to me like we're going to be paying for a downtown stadium. That's just kind of how American cities work. Now, yesterday, maybe you didn't see this, but some plans got leaked to the Kansas City Star. Have you noticed that every 3 months, every 4 months, we get just more information about the downtown stadium courtesy of the Kansas City Star? It's almost, Rob, like it's coordinated for us to do this. Just in the Sunday paper, there are the two locations that they're considering, both on the Missouri side, about where the downtown stadium is going to be. Now, one is near 18th and Vine. Now, we don't got to get all political on this show. I won't get on my soapbox here, but I refuse to believe that they are putting the baseball stadium east of Troost. They can say that that's a plan, and I understand that the Urban Youth Baseball Academy is down there, but they're not putting the Major League Baseball Stadium east of Troost, not in Kansas City, Missouri. There is nothing about the history of our city that would suggest that they are going to put that economic structure on the east side of Troost. I refuse to believe it. But that is one option that they posed yesterday, that they are thinking about it, and that that's where the city would like for them to put it, on the east side of Troost. I'm sure. The other option is where we always thought the downtown stadium would be. It is in the East Village. Let me read to you the part from the Kansas City Star. While underdeveloped, the East Village site is near major institutions like City Hall, Jackson County Courthouse, and the Kansas City Police Department headquarters. About six blocks away sits the Power and Light District with its bars, restaurants, apartments, and hotels. Now, I am no real estate tycoon, Rob. But you want to know when I was 100% certain that the stadium was going to be downtown? When they started building Two Light. And then they're in the process of building Three Light. And as someone who lives downtown, I started to think to myself, well, hold on, there aren't enough people that live down here right now. And with the cost of rent, there would have to be something down here that would make you want to live down here. Well, what's something that would make you want to live downtown? You want to know what that would potentially be? 81 home baseball games. How you can walk downstairs and walk three blocks and go to the baseball game or go grab yourself something to eat, and the energy, the hustle and bustle of being downtown. If you've been to other downtown stadium cities, St. Louis is one, Denver is one, I'm sure there's others in the Midwest that just aren't readily coming to mind. I'm sure it's the exact same thing. So I started putting two and two together. Well, they keep building all these apartments around this same area. There must be a plan down here. Well, it's obvious what the plan is. The plan is to put the baseball stadium down there. Now, I did think this was interesting, and I had never heard this before. We had always talked about them building the stadium once their lease ran up. In this story, they said that the Royals would like to be there in 2026 just in case Kansas City gets the World Cup, because then they wouldn't be able to use their baseball stadium. I never thought of that before. For them to put that out there tells me, oh, they're like really heavy into planning this thing. Like, this just isn't ideas. I believe right now the Chiefs are just floating out ideas, concepts. Rob, this is what, the third story in the Star in the last 8 months where they have detailed plans on where the stadium is going to. Do you remember the one back in March that they had? This is the second time in 3 months that the Kansas City Star has had a detailed story with sight lines and people on the record talking about the downtown stadium. Everybody loves Kauffman Stadium. Like John Sherman said, all of us grew up going to Kauffman Stadium. All of us have the stories of being a kid and going out there and grabbing a hot dog or being on the hat shuffle or running the bases after the game and the fountains. It's not like anyone is unhappy with the current stadium. But I also understand how American business works, how commerce works in this sense, and how American sports teams work. And when you've played in one building since 1973 and you start to see the landscape of your profession and everybody else is getting new shiny stadiums and then you spend $1 billion on the Kansas City Royals, well, what's the fastest way for you to get your $1 billion back? It's through a stadium. It's not Bally Sports Plus. That's not how you're getting back the $1 billion that you and other people have helped sink into the Kansas City Royals. You get it back by owning a stadium. You get it back by owning a stadium that the residents pay for. So this is the plan. We can fight it. We can debate it. We can argue it. And I'm always open to hear other people's thoughts and ideas. But the Royals are telling you that they've got it down to two places they think it's going to be. And for the first time, Rob, they floated out a date. 2026. That means they got to break ground on that thing, what, in the next 18 months to maybe get that thing up and running? If they want to play in that stadium by 2026, they need to start in the next 18 months. If you want to, by opening day of 2026, you be playing in that stadium so you're not playing at the Truman Sports Complex, so when the World Cup is in town for the entire summer, you can have a home game. That's what needs to happen.
Which also means that by March of 2026, the Royals, it's March 26, the Royals have to be in the new building, and the old building will have to be gone, right? Because you would then feasibly use that space for parking. If you're the city of Kansas City, you would not celebrate, but you'd be happy to use that space for parking for the World Cup. Me and you had the same reaction when we read this story this morning. We were talking about it. They have dates now. So Royals fans on the text line who are like, I don't want a downtown stadium. No, thank you. Hard pass. I understand all that, and I understand not wanting to spend your tax dollars on a billionaire stadium. I'm hip to all of these facts. But the Royals' plans behind the scenes, which are now leaking out in front of the scenes, are telling you that in three and a half years, they're playing downtown. And I agree with you. I think of the two places they leaked out today, it's pretty obvious downtown's the one they want next to the courthouse and so on and so forth, mostly because the entertainment district and the walking and all the stuff. That timeline's fast. 2026 is not as far away as people think it is.
Text line 913-576-7610. Stop trying to make a downtown stadium a thing. No one wants a stadium downtown. Kauffman is a stadium. I'm tired of people supporting these billionaires who don't want to pay for their stadium. If they want a stadium, then the Royals can pay for it. I don't think that your opinion is an unpopular one. Sometimes I can give you my opinion on things, and I try to. Or sometimes I can tell you my interpretation of things and how things are. I don't need to make the downtown stadium a thing. They've already made it a thing. They're scouting locations. They're giving timetables and estimates on when they want to get this done. So we can live in the past when it comes to the Royals. Or we can start to talk about what their future plans are. And their future plans are not at the Truman Sports Complex. The Royals tell us that every single step of the way. The Royals haven't, since John Sherman has bought the team, he has never communicated that he wants to stay where they are. Now, the Chiefs have communicated that. The Royals have never communicated with John Sherman that their plan is to play at the Truman Sports Complex in 2031. So you can be mad about it. You can be upset about it. You could call people like me public shills. I know I'm not receiving any money for the stadium. I certainly wish that I would. We would lead the show every day with it if I was on the payroll. I'm just telling you what's about to happen. And this is the second time in 3 months that the Star on a Sunday has had detailed conversations, information, blueprints, city council people on the record talking about the Royals. Someone said, did you see the article in The Pitch on the effect of a new city-funded stadium? It was incredibly well-sourced and eye-opening. I actually did not see that story. I will check it out. I have not seen The Pitch story. This is the thing that is happening. They're going to put it to a vote. and it will pass. Rob, I told you a year ago a big reason of why I think they let Mahomes on the board is so whenever they do the commercials, they can have Patrick Mahomes in the commercial saying vote yes on Prop A or whatever. I thought that from the beginning. What value is Eric Stonestreet bringing to the Royals? They're going to need him to do some commercials at some point to get out and pitch. Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, why are you peddling this garbage? Kansas City likes Kauffman. I like Kauffman too. I'm not anti-Kauffman. I love Kauffman. But look at the stadiums that are older than Kauffman Stadium. And be honest with yourself. It's not Wrigley Field. It's not Fenway. The Royals are going to do what every team does, which is build a nice stadium, and a lot of you will complain, and then you'll go out there and be like, wow, this is really nice. This is better than I ever imagined it being. It'll be better than you thought. It'll be nicer than you thought. And when you go to other cities and you see their ballpark and they have all these nice, cool amenities, your stadium will be the nice, cool stadium. That's what'll happen.
By the way, a lot of Royals fans of the text line are saying, when the team is good, I'll go out there. That's a lie, a lot of fans say, by the way. Because if you'll recall, the first time the Royals renovated Kauffman with the giant Jumbotron and the new outfield area, and it was a really cool deal. It was like, what, 08? The 08 Royals were trash. Just a trash team. Sidney Ponson was starting games. They were horrible. But you know what fans did in droves that year? Went out to see the renovated K. So you're telling me you wouldn't go see a bad team at a cool new stadium? That's just a lie fans say right now. If you watched Sidney Ponson in 08 just to experience the new little K, you'll definitely walk from McFadden's to the new stadium.
Yeah, 100%. People will definitely go down there. All right. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and their lack of a pass rush right now. But one thing I like about sports in general is just general disdain for other people and other teams. I always laugh when people say, oh, well, you're a KU hater. Well, I cheer for Missouri. I'm supposed to dislike Kansas. It wouldn't really be that fun if I liked Kansas, would it? I don't cheer for them. I cheer for their rival. There has to be a hero and a villain. There has to be a good side and a bad side. There has to be opposition. We all can't cheer for the same team. Sports wouldn't be fun if we all cheer for the same teams. Sometimes I like my players to dislike players on the other team. I don't want it to get personal. I don't want them to hurt the other team. But you know what? I don't like that guy. Every time I see that guy, I want to beat him. Today, Patrick Beverly on his off day. Patrick Beverly ain't got nothing to do today. He ain't got no basketball game. He just has nothing but free time today. He decided to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and say these things about Chris Paul, and I love it.
Do guys in the NBA go to sleep early the night before playing the Phoenix Suns? Hell no.
You mean as a team, or would you talk about Chris Paul individually?
Chris Paul individually.
Okay.
No. I'm going to Steak 44 over there in Phoenix. I'm going to have me a nice little wine, probably sweat it out, and but the pregame shoot around and get ready for Chris Paul. Steph Curry, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. Mom, don't call me. My girl, don't call me. I'm locked in right now. And ain't nobody worried about Chris Paul when we play Phoenix Suns. Nobody in the NBA.
Well, what did I just say though?
And I'm just letting you know how NBA players feel and think.
I believe you, but what I'm saying
he's finessed the game to a point where he gets all the petty calls, all the swipe throughs at the end. I mean, this guy is out, man. We gonna be honest. We want to be really honest.
Yes.
He should have fouled out. He should have fouled out the last game, too. You see the replay against Brunson, hit him on the shoulder, hit him in the mouth, ref don't call anything. If that's me, oh, review it. Oh, flagrant one. If that's him, they don't call it. So let's not get it twisted, man. He should have fouled out. He can't guard. He literally can't guard.
He can't guard. He can't. Chris Paul can't guard anybody? Is that what you say?
No, he can't. Everyone knows that.
Excuse me. No. I don't know that. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
Because you haven't suited up. You know guys don't like to tell you all the truth. You know that. Because they're scared. They're scared what you're going to take with it.
No. He's right about that. They will lie.
I don't care.
He's honest. They will lie. That is true. He's not lying about that.
Man, CP can't guard nobody. Man, everybody in the NBA know that. Everybody know that.
He can't guard anybody.
What we call him? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
stays still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that.
I love the off-the-court stuff in the NBA as much as I love the on-the-court stuff. We need more of that in sports. Patrick Beverley woke up today with the intended purpose of ruining Chris Paul's day. I mean, his day was already bad enough. He was minus 39 yesterday on the court. Rob, the Suns got outscored by 39 points when Chris Paul was on the floor yesterday. They got a nice hot and ready 40 piece in a game 7 at the crib. I imagine today wasn't pleasant. You turn on SportsCenter or you start getting texts to the phone that Patrick Beverley is online talking incredibly spicy about you. You know what? I take back a lot of the things I said about Patrick Beverley. ESPN, hire him today. Let's get a show with basically basketball first take with J.J. Redick and Patrick Beverley breaking down the league. That's a show that I'll tune in for every single day to hear them talk about the NBA, Rob.
He said he's a traffic cone.
Everybody knows it.
Everyone knows that.
Everybody knows it. That's what he said.
He didn't just say, I'm going to get myself a nice meal. He had a restaurant picked out in Phoenix.
He said, whenever I go up against Chris Paul, I know I can do whatever. When I got to guard Steph, I got to really focus and lock in. I love it, man. We need more of that in sports. You guys always say the sports are too buddy-buddy and they're changing jerseys at the end of the game. Patrick Beverley does not sign up to that theory. I don't like none of y'all, especially Chris Paul. I think he's a sucker, is what Patrick Beverley said earlier today. All right, Rob, if you can get some music here fired up in a little bit, we'll get back to talking about the Chiefs here coming up momentarily. But I've got another Rank These Four today as it is National Barbecue Day. If you missed it, today is National Barbecue Day. Happy National BBQ Day to you and yours. I want you to rank these four, Rob. Pulled pork, brisket, burn-ins, or ribs. Rank these four. Ribs, brisket, pulled pork, and burn-ins. How are you ranking these four?
I'll go from the bottom up again, and I'll lead off with a hot take. In fourth, ribs. I am not a huge rib guy. I don't dislike ribs. They're all great meats. Ribs are my least favorite. It's the most work. It's just, no. Ribs are four. Pulled pork at three.
Hold on really quick. Can we go back?
Sure.
We got to quit calling things hot takes and start calling them what they are. Wrong. That is not a hot take. What you just said is incorrect. What you just said is wrong. What you just said is misinformation. You know how on Instagram you can't just say whatever, how it's like a little tab there? That's what we should do sometimes when you talk, because what you just said is not accurate. It's not true. It is not real. And I don't want kids listening right now. They just got out from school. They're riding around with their dad or their mom listening to this show. I don't want them to go around repeating the stuff that you say.
Ribs are four. Pulled pork is three. Brisket is two. And one with a bullet. A no doubter. Number one, burnt ends. Just perfect barbecue food. A good burn in, don't get better than that. Instagram tab my takes. Get out of here.
Sam again for me, Rob.
I got burn end at one, brisket at two, pulled pork at three, ribs at four.
So you're telling me,
That's
what you're telling me. If there's the greatest slab of ribs you've ever had in your life, and then the best pulled pork you've ever taken, you'd rather have some pulled pork over the ribs. That's what you're telling me. If you're getting the best, whatever place you think serves the best of these things, you much rather have the best pulled pork over the best ribs.
Yes. I'm not adverse to ribs. They're just, I never seek out ribs. Pulled pork, man. People sleep on pulled pork. It's good.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
I don't even know what to say.
Happy barbecue day.
4 pulled pork. 3 brisket. 2 ribs, 1 burn-ins. Official list. I've really come around on burn-ins in the last 3 years or so. I just absolutely love them. I can't believe that we allowed rib slander. You're Sam Howell. That's who you are.
I had ribs, not Sam Howell.
You're Rob Howell.
I just have them at 4.
That's who you are. You're Rob Howell. Someone said, I lost all respect for Rob. Same. Agreed. Terrible opinion. One of the worst opinions that's ever been said on the show. And I've heard some stinkers on the show. Some absolute stinkers. And that might be the worst one. All right, coming up on the other side, someone at ESPN has a very surprising chief making the roster. I'll tell you who that is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the most miserable Mizzou fan in the metro.
My team stinks.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
So, Mike Clay is probably the number 2 fantasy guy at ESPN behind Matthew Berry. He mostly does projections where Berry sort of gives commentary and you should take this player versus this player. Michael Clay more is, I think Travis Kelce is going to do X this year type guy. So, he wrote a story today that he projected Justin Ross to make the 53-man roster for the Kansas City Chiefs. Quote, wide receiver Justin Ross will make the Chiefs roster. He surprisingly went undrafted, but not for lack of talent, as teams seem to be concerned about his medicals. Prior to his neck and spine injury in 2020, Ross posted a dynamite freshman year, also a second season, with 66 catches, 865 yards, and 8 touchdowns as one of the top receivers of the league. In fact, his career 3 yards per route run was one of the best in this year's rookie class. Ross finds himself in an elite offense, but also one in need of help of a wideout. The Clemson product has a real shot of making the cut. I believe he has a real shot of making the cut too. I think there are four spots that are locked up from their wide receiver group. We know the four. Last year, they carried five initially. He's got to beat out Darius Fountain, Josh Gordon, Cornell Powell. It's those four guys fighting for one spot on the roster. Now, we know they like Darius Fountain. He made the team out of camp last year, but it's a new season. We also don't know if they're going to keep four tight ends this season initially, because maybe they only keep three tight ends, which then leaves them an opportunity to keep six wide receivers as opposed to only keeping five last year. Maybe they use that roster spot somewhere else. We got a lot of time before we really start to break down the roster construction of this team. Rob, I don't think that it's crazy on him making the team. You and I agree. I don't think he's going to make it. You and I, this is one of the things that you and I are in lockstep. We think the exact same thing is going to happen. That he's going to come up with a magical injury and be put on the IR and they don't have to deal with it this year, but allow him to get healthy and allow him to be around the team and continue to learn and work with this offense. So you and I think the exact same thing. But one of those wide receiver spots is certainly up for grabs. You can't say it's Darius Fountain's job based on what we saw last season. It's certainly not Josh Gordon's job. He had 37 yards receiving last year in 10 games. And was a healthy DMP for all three of the playoff games last year. So he is not a, oh, Josh Gordon's 100% making this team. He got to fight for it too. So I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Justin Ross makes the 53-man roster. But Rob, you and I agree. This is certainly an uphill climb for the undrafted rookie.
See, I agree. I agree with everything you said. We're on the same page. Where me and Mike Clarion disagree on him making the roster is, and this is one of those ESPN guys are at 10,000-foot view people, we're in the weeds every day with the Chiefs. They don't really know the same things we know. We heard reports from Nate Taylor. We had Pete Sweeney on this show. Me and you were on social media very similar ways. A lot of people were saying Justin Ross shows flashes. You see it, but there are also long stretches where there's rust. Nate Taylor was on the show Friday, and he said, I think the rust frustrates Andy Reid at times. And Brett Veach, even in his press conference, mentioned, oh, there's definitely rust there. It's not just the injuries. The guy hasn't played competitive football in a long time and hasn't played healthy competitive football in a longer time. For as much as I thought, hey, it's going to take a long time for Josh Gordon to get up to speed, and it did, I think you can make the argument it's going to take just as long for Justin Ross. And Josh Gordon never got up to speed. He never got to where he needed to be this year to be a viable receiver. So if Justin Ross is perfectly healthy, he's a capable athlete. The problem is the last time he played competitive football where he was healthy is what? The 2019 college football playoff? The 2020 no one cares COVID season? It's been a long time since he was playing against real dudes at real health. So it's not just the health for me. It's the rust factor, which is why I think they will use the health to hide him because the rust factor is a factor.
No, I mean, it certainly is. If Justin Ross is going to make this team, he's going to need to do something that's undeniable. Last year, Darius Fountain, I thought, looked undeniable as a guy that deserved to grab one of those last few roster spots. Jody Fortson last year was a player that was pretty undeniable. That was a guy that you needed to keep. In their three preseason games last year, Darius Fountain got 16 targets. He had 10 catches for 118 yards. He was and he had a 41-yard catch. So in the limited preseason action, Darius Fountain balled out and really forced the Chiefs' hand where you now got to make a decision. And he made the team. So you're right. We have been hearing reports. It's been hit or miss. It's been spotty. You got to shake off the rust. All right. If Justin Ross doesn't go, I guess maybe a better way to put it is, I don't think the Chiefs are going to give Justin Ross the job. I think he has to go take the job from somebody else. I don't think he's the favorite going into camp to grab that fifth wide receiver spot. I would still say Darius Fountain is probably the favorite to grab that last spot based on him making the team last year and just being better than where Josh Gordon is at this point. I would say Cornell Powell arguably is ahead of Justin Ross. They drafted him last year. He made the practice squad last year. They've kept Cornell Powell around. you would think that they want to give him more of an extended look for a player that they used a draft pick on last season. So Ross is probably coming in here third in the competition. You know how in a boxing match you got to knock the other guy out in order for you to get to win the fight that you're probably not going to win on the cards? That's what I think he's going to have to do in this conversation. That's not to say that he won't be around, but I think in order to grab that 53-man roster spot, it needs to be clear to all of us that he needs to be on the team. The same way that it was with Jody Fortson and the same way that it was for Darius Fountain last year. There was a lot of hype around Darius Fountain in the preseason. A lot of buzz. We were talking about him at training camp. It needs to be the exact same thing for Justin Ross if he's going to make this team day one out of camp. It needs to be the exact same thing. All right, Rob, let's do this. Let's keep this Chiefs conversation going on the other side. Let's talk about the defensive side of the football and Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram has signed a one-year, $5 million deal with the Miami Dolphins. He was tendered by the Kansas City Chiefs for one-year, $4.4 million deal. He goes to the Dolphins for $600,000 more, but the Chiefs will get a compensatory pick in return for them losing on Melvin Ingram. So let's talk about that coming up on the other end. And instead of me complaining, Rob, which you know I can do, let's talk about what plan B is, because you and I have always operated that they were going to have Melvin Ingram on next year's team. We have always operated and talked about every discussion that on the other side of Frank Clark, it was going to be Melvin Ingram. We now know that that's not a possibility. What is plan B now that Melvin Ingram is out of the mix? We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.